Today, here in the Daf Yomi, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Chaf Hei. We begin on the very last line of Chaf Dalet Amud Beis with the Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us, Ma'isa Shubo Shnayim. One time there was a situation, Ma'isa, that two people came, two witnesses came to Amru, and they said, Ra'inu, that we saw the new moon, Shachris B'Mizrach, we saw the new moon in the morning in the east, and we turned to Chaf Hei Amud Aleph, but Iris, in the nighttime, they saw it B'Mariv, in the west. Now, this, Rashi tells us, is not something that would be possible. And he gives two reasons for this. In Dibra Masal Eide Shekrahim, the first one, which he doesn't like as much, he heard from his Rabbeim, the Kaimalon, Esim V'Yabo Shoyim Mechasi Sira, Kach Pirshu Rabosai. He says that for 24 hours, the moon is not going to be visible. So if they saw the old moon in the morning, so then they couldn't have seen the new moon in the afternoon. So here, the way Rashi's Rabbeim understood it was that they didn't see the new moon in the morning and the new moon in the evening. They saw the old moon in the morning and the new moon in the afternoon, and that would be physically impossible, and therefore we'll see in a moment that Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri calls him Eide Sheker. However, Rashi says, Libi Nokvi, I don't like that pshat, because we're going to give a teretz for why they weren't Eide Sheker, according to Rabban Gamliel, who did accept these witnesses, and that's going to say that they took the moon sometimes takes a short path, sometimes it takes a long path, and that would imply that it's talking about the same moon. So therefore, Rashi says, Nira Li, Dalachadosha Yidu, like I originally translated it, like Rashi's preferred pshat, that they claim to have seen the new moon in the morning on the eastern side, and in the afternoon, in the evening, they saw it on the western side of the side. And that's the reason why Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri says in the next words of the Mishnah, Amar Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri, hey, they shekerheim. They can't have that. It's impossible. Because it goes too far, fast, across the sky, Rashi says. It can't go and be seen from the eastern side to the western side in less than a 12-hour period of time. And therefore, the teretz that we're going to give, ultimately, that sometimes it goes b'derech harucha, sometimes it goes b'derech kitzara. So therefore, that would be an acceptable answer to saying that it's the same new moon that they were seeing in the morning and in the evening. In any event, the pshat is that the two witnesses is something that's not possible according to the opinion of Yochanan ben Uri, that they saw it in the eastern side in the morning, in the afternoon, in the evening, they saw it on the western side, and Omer of Yochanan ben Uri, top line, Chofei Amud Aleph, Eidei Shekrahim, these obviously are false witnesses, and therefore they can't be accepted. So the witnesses came, however, Kishabol Yavin, they came to the Beis Yazek, and they were Kibbul and Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Gamliel did accept them, and we'll see why he accepted them in a moment. Va'od, another time, Bo Shnayim, there were two witnesses that came, Ba'amru, Renu Bizmano, we saw the moon at the right time. In other words, they saw it at the start of the 30th day, and therefore they wanted to declare that day Rosh Chodesh. However, Ubaleli Buro, on the next night, nobody saw the moon, Lo Nira, the moon wasn't visible the next night. Nevertheless, the Kiblon Rabban Gamliel. Nevertheless, Rabban Gamliel accepted them. Again, this doesn't sound like it could be possible. How could it be visible the first night and not visible the second night? So Amar Rabbi Dosa ben Hurkanus said, Ei de Shekre. No, these are false witnesses. They obviously didn't see the moon because we can't see it even the next night. Nevertheless, Rabban Gamliel accepted them. Now, why did Rabbi Dosa ben Hurkanus not accept them? He said, Heich me'idim alo isha shi'olda ulamocha kresa ben shenya. How can you, so to say, testify? He gives us an analogy we'll explain in a moment from the Ben Yoyada. How could you, a woman, be claimed that she was given birth, and yet you still see her pregnant the next day? The next day, she still has her belly between her teeth. Now, what's this expression? So, the Ben Yoyada says that a woman who's in labor is bent over. And thus, the pregnant woman's abdomen is equal in level to her teeth. And that's what it means, kresa ben shinyan, because she's bent over. Alternatively, it suggests that the baby growing inside the mother is sustained by the food that the mother eats with her teeth. And that's what it means, that it is kresa ben shinyan. The baby inside of her is sustained by the mother's food. Okay. In any event, Rabbi Dosa ben Hurkanus is saying that it's impossible for them to have claimed to have seen the moon last night, and yet we can't see the moon on this night. So now, Amar lo Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua said, Taka, in these situations, I don't think that it's correct to have accepted these witnesses. Rabbi Gamliel is wrong. Ro ani es dvarecha. He told Rabbi Dosa ben Hurkanus, you're Taka right. And therefore, these witnesses are false witnesses, and we shouldn't have made the month a chaser month. We shouldn't have accepted the witnesses to say that the month previously was 29 days, and this is Rosh Chodesh. We should have made it a Malay, a 30-day month, and the next day should have been Rosh Chodesh. Rabbi Gamliel heard about this. Rabbi Gamliel was the Nasi. Rabbi Yeshua was the Av based in. Shalach lo Ruv Galil. Ruv Galil said, we have to keep order here. We can't have people that celebrating Rosh Chodesh on different days. And I paskin, this is the Nasi that we accepted it, and therefore you have to go and come on the day that you're saying this was Rosh Hashanah, this was Rosh Chodesh Tishrei. So therefore, Rabbi Yoshua had suggested that it was Elul was going to be Male, and therefore what Rabbi Gamliel said that it would be Chaser. So Rabbi Gamliel was saying that Aleph Tishrei was 30th day of Elul according to Rabbi Yeshua. So therefore, on what Rabbi Gamliel said is the 10th day of Tishrei, in other words, Yom Kippur, Rabbi Yeshua is only going to say is the 9th day of Tishrei. So therefore, Shalach Rabbi Gamliel, Gozrani Alecha, I declare, I am Gozer on you, Shetavu Etzli, that you're going to come to me, B'makelcha o B'ma'usecha, that you're going to come to me with your stick and carry on Yom Kippur, and with your money bag, and you're going to come to me on the day that you say is Yom Kippur, B'yom HaKippurim Shechol Yos B'cheshboncha, and what you're saying is the 10th day of Tishrei, which we say is the 11th day of Tishrei, I'm declaring in Gozer that you have to come to me with your stick and your money bag. Why bedavka both? So the Mefarshim bring down in this situation that in case he had to carry his stick anyway because he was an older person and he needed the stick, the money, certainly he needed not to have that. And therefore, he definitely would be over on what he called Yom Kippur, but he would follow the opinion of Rabbi Gamliel, which is that it wasn't Yom Kippur. So therefore, Rabbi Gamliel told him, you got to come to me with your bag and your stick on Yom Kippur that you say, which is, of course, for us, the 11th day of Tishrei, and no Isser at all, to bring your makelcha and your maos, your money bag. Okay. Rabbi Yoshua was distraught. Halach umutzor Rabbi Akiva meitzar. So Rabbi Yoshua was upset, and Rabbi Akiva found it. The Gemara is going to ask, who found who upset? Was it Rabbi Akiva that was upset, or Rabbi Yeshua was upset? The Gemara is going to conclude that Rabbi Akiva found that Rabbi Yeshua was upset, obviously because he would have to go and carry on what he said was Yom Kippur. So, Amar lo, Rabbi Akiva said to Rabbi Yeshua, Yesh li lamod, shekol mash osu gamlil osui. I want to teach the Rebbe, and the Gemara is going to ask, Rebbe, can I ask you for permission to go and give you a teretz? And Rabbi Yeshua says yes, and he's going to be comforted very much, but Rabbi Akiva tells him, so in the Mishnah it's a little bit shorter, and it tells us that I can give you a very good explanation for what Rabbi Gamliel did, that you shouldn't be upset. Because the Pasuk says, Shenema, Elamo de Hashem, and here we quote the full Pasuk, we haven't quoted it fully in the Gemara beforehand, Shenema, Elamo de Hashem, Mikroi Kodesh, Asher Tikru, Osam. Now, what does it mean, Asher Tikru Osam? Bein Bismanon, Bein Shelo Bismanon, Eli Moados Ela Elu. Whether they declare them correctly in the right time, or even if they made a mistake and declare them in the wrong time, based and has the power to decide when Rosh Chodesh is, and therefore when the Yom Tovim are, right or wrong. Okay, in the Gemara, it tells us Rabbi Yeshua is very accepting of this explanation of Rabbi Akiva. Nu Balo Eitzel Rabbi Yedosu in Hyrcanus. He then goes to Rabbi Yedosu in Hyrcanus, and he asks him again, what should I do? So Rabbi Yedosu in Hyrcanus says to him, Amalo, in Boyin Onu Lodun, Achar Beis Dino Sherabu Gomlio, Tzrichin Onu Lodun, Achar Ko Beis Din U Beis Din. If you're going to start questioning Rabbi Gomlio's psak over here and say that he was wrong, so then all the previous Batei Dinim, you're going to have to go and question their psak din also. And how do you know that the last Rosh Chodesh was when it was, and the one before that, and 10 years ago, and that we're not all making mistakes one after the other? So you have to trust the Beis Din, and the Beis Din's psak haloch is the bottom line. Because otherwise, you have to question every single psak of every Beis Din from the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. And we know that that's not true. Shenemar, because the pasuk tells us, Vaya Moshe V'yaro Nodov V'aviyu V'shivim Mizikne Yisrael. It mentions specifically the name of Moshe. It tells us Aaron. It tells us Nodov and Aviyu. And then, it doesn't mention who the 70 Zekanim are. Now, they were great people. Why weren't they deserving of mention? V'lobanun is Pirusho Shmoson Shos Zekanim. Why weren't those 70 Zekanim mentioned by name? Elo Lame, to teach us the following din. Shekol Shlosho Shlosho Shomdu Beis Din A Yisrael. Because you're going to say, oh, you're not Moshe, you're not Aaron, you're not Aviyu. Oh, but maybe you are the other three of the 70 that were not specifically mentioned. So therefore, it's to teach us not to be maharer on any other Beis Din. As long as they're an official accepted Beis Din, so their psak is accepted, no matter, even if they made a mistake. And therefore, Yeshua was mollified by both the words of Rabbi Akiva and the words of Rav ben Hyrcanus, and on what he said was the 10th of Tishrei, which Rabbi Gamliel had paskin was the 11th of Tishrei, Natal Maklo, he took his stick, Umausov, and his money, Biyodo, as I mentioned, because he was taking both of them, because just in case the stick would have been considered something that he would be allowed to carry, so Rabbi Gamliel said, I want you to take your money as well. The Holach Yavne, that's where the base in Agoda was, in Yavne, Eitzel Rabbi Gamliel, and he carried. And this was on the day. What he said was the 10th day, which Rabbi Gamliel said was the 11th day. Now, Amad Rabbi Gamliel, the Mefarshim bring down that even before he saw him coming with his stick and his money, he saw him just in the distance, so he already stood up for Rabbi Yoshua, because Rabbi Gamliel realized that Rabbi Yoshua was a greater Talmud Chacham than he was. So when he finally arrived, Rabbi Gamliel gave him a big kiss on the head, and he told him, Amalo Bowie Bishalom, you come in peace, and you are both my Rebbe v'salmidi. You are both my Rebbe and my Talmud. You're my Rebbe b'chochma. You're smarter than me. You probably were correct that I shouldn't have accepted the testimony of those Edom. So you're smarter than me. But Talmidai shekibalti esdori. But you're nevertheless, since I am the Nasi, and you are therefore by definition my Talmud, even if you're greater than me, but you acted as a Talmud towards me, and that is why I'm so pleased with you. And that's why I gave him a big kiss when they met. Now, Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua had three such incidents. This is one, and two other incidents that I mentioned, and in the Gemara in Brachos, which was the third one, which dealt with whether Mariv is a Rishus or is not a Rishus, so that was too much for the Chavraya, that was too much for the Rabbanim, and at that point, even though Rabbi Gamliel was not doing this for personal aggrandizement, he was doing it to maintain the status of the Nasi's position, so they deposed Rabbi Gamliel for a short period of time, and that's when they instituted that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah would become the Nasi, but subsequently everybody made peace, and Rabbi Gamliel was the Nasi for 2 out of 3 weeks, or some say 3 out of 4 weeks, and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, they couldn't depose him after he'd been brought up, so they let him remain as either 1 out of every 3 weeks or 1 out of every 4 weeks as the Nasi. But this machlokas between Rabbi Gamliel and Yeshua, we find it similar in three places in Shas. And again, it was a machlokis truly l'shem shemayim. Rabbi Gamliel wasn't doing this to push around Rabbi Yeshua and show that he was the Lord over him, but because he was standing up for the position of the Nasis. Okay. The Gemara starts and says, Tani, we learn in the Brayis, Amalem Rabbi Gamliel, Chachamim, Rabbi Gamliel said to Chachamim, Kach mikublani mi beis avi abba. I had this Kabbalah from my father's father. In other words, from Rabbi Gamliel Hazokain, and this is the psak that we have in our house. This is what I mentioned before in Rashi, that if you're saying, like Rashi's preferred pshat, that it was the same new moon that the witnesses saw in the east in the morning and the west in the afternoon, so normally that would not be possible. But since the moon sometimes travels on different routes, so to say, so it is possible, according to Rabbi Gamliel's grandfather, Rabbi Gamliel Azokain, that this could have been a true situation where it was the same new moon seen in the east in the morning and in the west in the evening. And therefore, that's why he accepted the witnesses, because sometimes the moon takes a different path, a shorter path, and therefore it is possible. I'm Rabbi Yochanan, my time of the Rebbe. Rabbi Yochanan said, what is the reasoning behind this psak of Rabbi Gamliel? Either he called Rabbi Gamliel his Rebbe, or that he was referring to Rebbe, who came from the house of Rabbi Gamliel. So, whoever it was, it's this shita. Who is the shita based upon? What is the shita based upon? The chsiv. The pasuk says, "Also your reyach lemoadim shemesh yoda mevoo." So this is a pasuk that we have in Tehillim that the sun, so to say, shemesh who the yoda mevoo. The sun always goes on the same path, and everybody knows that path. However, your reyach lo yoda mevoo. The moon sometimes goes on a path that's shorter, sometimes a path that's longer, and that's what Rabbi Gamliel Hazokain had based this sheet on that Rabbi Gamliel accepted, and so did apparently Rebbe accept, and Rabbi Yochanan says, in the name of either Rebbe or the name of Rabbi Gamliel, this is the source for their sheet. Maisa Shahaya, Rabbi Chia Chazio L'Siyara, Dahava Koi B'Tzafra De Esim V'Tisha. One time Rabbi Chia saw the moon, the Siyara is the moon, and it was seen on the morning, B'Tzafra, in the morning of the 29th day of the month. Now, that means that it would be impossible to go and have the new moon on the 30th day. In other words, if you're still seeing the old moon on the 29th day, so then they're not going to see the new moon on the night of the 30th day, and therefore this month is going to be a mole. However, they needed this month to be a chaser month. They needed this month to have 29 days. So Rav Chia was upset. Shokal, he took kolor, Rashi says it's pisas rugovim, a piece of earth, a clump of earth, and Pasach Bay. He threw it at the moon, so to say, as to get out of here. Amar, he says, La'urta, tonight, Urta is again always a euphemism, it means the light, which means the start of the darkness, the start of the 30th day, we need to go and have witnesses come and see the new moon. So you're the old moon, get out of here. And you're here. Zil lechase, cover yourself up. So therefore, it won't be a problem. People won't say that these are false witnesses that we're going to bring to testify that they saw the new moon, and therefore, it's going to lead to a sichsuch. Hey, how could you see the new moon if the old moon was still visible? So he said, get out of here, you old moon, so we can declare tonight to be Rosh Chodesh. Amalei Rabbi le Rabbi Chia. So Rabbi said to Rabbi Chia, Rabbi Chia was a star pupil of Rabbi, Zil le'Ein Tav, go to this place called Ein Tav, where this incident didn't occur, so they're not going to have known that the new moon was visible, and therefore they won't question you when you bring the witnesses to come and say that they saw the new moon now. They're not going to know that they already had seen the old moon that morning, and therefore that would be unlikely. So he said, go to Ein Tav, Zil Ein Tav, B'kat Sheliacha, and be Mekadesh on my behalf, the Rosh Chodesh, in that place. Ushach li simona, and send me back a simon that you were successful in doing so, and that simon should be David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayim. Now, this is what you should bring back. Apparently, one of the reasons he said to go to Ein Tav was maybe they were being persecuted and they were following Rabbi around to make sure that he didn't go declare the new moon. So he sent his star pupil, Rabbi Chia, to go on his behalf and declare the new moon. Normally, the Nasi has to declare the new moon, but he sent the Shaliach, Rabbi Chia, to do this, and he sent him to Ein Tav where they wouldn't give him a hard time because they were following Rabbi. They weren't following Rabbi Chia, and this way he would declare it and send me back a simon. You can't send me back and say that, oh, we declared Rosh Chodesh because the enemy, the Romans, would have persecuted them. So therefore, send me back to Simon, David Melech Sol Chai V'Kayim. The Menachem Eish of Nefesh brings down that the gematria of David Melech Sol Chai V'Kayim is 819, and the gematria of Rosh Chodesh is 819. And this is one of the reasons why we say in the Kiddush Levana, David Melech Sol Chai V'Kayim, Mestama, because of this story. Mark continues and says, Tana Rabbanon, Pam Achas Niskashu, Shomayim ba'avim. One time it was a very cloudy day. V'nirez demus levona be'esim v'sish l'cholish. And they thought they saw the moon on the 29th day of the month. And kisvur ma'am lo ma'rosh chodesh. And they thought this was the new moon. And the people wanted to make that Rosh Chodesh would be that day. U'bikshu based in l'kachu. And the people thought it would be a 28th day month. And they would make the 29th day Rosh Chodesh. Amar Rav Gamliel, kach mekublanim v'beis avi abba. Rav Gamliel said again, I have a Kabbalah from my grandfather, v'beis avi abba, from Rav Gamliel HaZokein, en chidusher sholvana besucha me'esrim v'tisha yom u'mechza, that there is no possibility for a month to be 28 days. The minimum month can be is 29 and a half days. And u'shnei shlishe shah, and two-thirds of an hour. V'shivim u'shlosha chalokim, and 73 chalokim, of the next hour. An hour is divided up into chalakim, and this is the exact amount of time between one molad and the next molad. And in order to make sure that they didn't declare the 29th day of the month to be Rosh Chodesh, so a certain person's mother died, Ben Zaza was the person's name, and his mother passed away. This speed the Rabban Gamliel hesped galah, and Gamliel made a great hesped for her, Even though she didn't deserve such a great hesped. A woman is allowed to have a hesped. We bring down from over here a raya that you maspid a woman just like you maspid a man. But this woman wasn't necessarily deserving of Rabbi Gamliel giving her a very long and great hesped. Lo b'nei shiru l'kach. However, elo k'dei sheyedu ha'am shlo kichu based in Nesach Chodesh. Since you're not allowed to go and make a hesped on Rosh Chodesh, so by making a long and famous and very mefursome type of a hesped for this mother of Ben Zaza, the whole world would know that they didn't declare today to be Rosh Chodesh. The Vilna Gaon brings down from here that if this woman was really worthy, then it wouldn't have had to say so that it was because of Rosh Chodesh. So they're telling us over here that this woman wasn't worthy of the Dossi, the Gadol Hador, and Malil, making a hesped Gadol for her. But we also learn out from here that the halach is that you make a hesped for a woman just like you would make a hesped for a man, and that's the way it's codified in Shulchan Aruch. We continue by quoting the Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us, Halach Rabbi Akiva, the Gersa that we have, Umetzo, Meitzah, V'chule, the correct Gersa was, Umetzo, Rabbi Akiva, Meitzah, V'chule. And again, as I mentioned, it sounds like it's unclear who found who upset. Did Rabbi Akiva find Rabbi Yeshua upset, which is, of course, the right answer, or did Rabbi Yeshua somehow find Rabbi Akiva upset? So that's what the Gemara asks. Ibai Luhu, they ask the following Shaila. Mi Meitzah, who was upset? Rabbi Akiva Meitzah or Rabbi Yeshua Meitzah?
from the language that the Mishnah states, it could be understood either way. So Toshma, I'll show you right that it was in fact Rabbi Yeshua was the one that was upset. The Tanya, because we learned in a Braisa, Halach Rabbi Akiva umitzol Rabbi Yeshua kishu meitzar. So it says beferish. So Rabbi Akiva went and found Rabbi Yeshua that he was upset. He was in distress. Amalo. So Rabbi Akiva said to his Rebbe. That's the correct way the Masorah Shas reads it. It says, Rebbe, mipnei ma'atomeitza. Why is the Rebbe so upset? Rabbi Akiva learned from a number of different Rebbeim. He learned from Rabbi Elazar HaGadol and Rabbi Yeshua. This is Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya. And he asked him, Rebbe, why are you upset? Mipnei atomeitza. So Rabbi Yeshua says back to Rabbi Akiva. Now the Gemara said we have his Rabbi Akiva, but since he was his Talmud, he called him Akiva. That's why the Masorah Shas says he called him Akiva. Roy lo shiyipol lamita shneimos or chodesh va'al yigzer olov gzeruzu. It would be better for me if I was in bed for 12 months than to have such a gzeruzu come upon me that I have to go and be mechalo what I consider the day of Yom Kippur to go and meet Rabban Gamliel. The Marashah explains, why is it 12 months over here? He says, because it would be better for him to miss all of the Yom Tovim and not be able to leave his house in order not to be mechalo Yom Kippur. So Omar lo, Rabbi Akiva says back to his Rebbe, with your permission, please, Tarsheni lo malafonecha, please give me permission to speak up in front of you, Dovarecha, to teach over one thing that you had taught me, Shalimanatani, and that will hopefully mollify the Rebbe. So that's the right way. A person, a Talmud, shouldn't be speaking up in front of his Rebbe, saying over something in front of his Rebbe without the Rebbe's permission. So Amalo Amar, so Yeshua says, sure, by all means speak. So Amalo, so Yekiva tells his Rebbe, Heri Omer, the Pasuk says, Atem, Shalosh Pamim. The three times where it says in the Pasuk, Atem. Rashi brings down Shlosho Zmanim Ksiv Asher Tikru Osam. Now it says the word Osam, but we read it in the Parsha of Shor Kesem ways, the Kori Ben Tikru Atem. So we have a play on the word. Instead of reading it Osam, so we read it Atem. So this Shlosh Panim. So the first time he teaches us Atem, Afilu Shogin, even if the Beis Din made a mistake accidentally, so we still pass on it to Beis Din. The second time it says Atem, it's Afilu Mezidin, even if the Beis Din intentionally picked the wrong day for Rosh Chodesh, nevertheless, based in Paskins, that's what it is. And the third time, Atem, Afilu, Mutin. Even if the Basin made a mistake, they were misled. The Basin somehow accepted the wrong witnesses. They shouldn't have accepted them, and they did. Or something similar to that. Nevertheless, the third time it says Atem is to teach us that we follow the Basin. So this is what Rabbi Akiva told Rabbi Yeshua. That's the din, that we follow the basin. So even if Rabbi Gamliel is wrong, even if he's intentionally wrong, even if he was misled, nevertheless we follow the halacha like he paskit. So Beloshen Azel Malo. So Rabbi Yeshua, when he heard this from his Talmud Rabbi Akiva, he says, Akiva, nicham toni. Akiva, you have comforted me. In other words, even though I think I'm doing something technically that's wrong by going on what I consider the Dei Yom Kippur, to go and carry things and to take my money bag, nevertheless, you have comforted me in saying that I'm following the halacha. Then we quote the Mishnah where it said the second example was Bolo Eitzer Rabbi Dosa ben Hyrcanus Uchule. Yeshua went to Rabbi Dosa ben Hyrcanus, who also seemed to suggest that Rabbi Gamliel was wrong, and yet he should follow the opinion of Rabbi Gamliel. So Tana Rabbanu, we learn in the Brisa, Lama lo nisparshu shmosam shos kenem alolu. The Brisa expands on the rationale behind Rabbi Dosa in the Mishnah, where he said, if you're going to start questioning Rabbi Gamliel, you have to question all the prior basins as well. So Lama lo nisparshu shmosam shos kenem alolu. So the Brisa says, why weren't the names of the Shivim Zakenim, the 70 Zakenim mentioned? We mentioned Aaron, Moshe, of course, another Naviyah, but not the 70 Zakenim. So the answer is, Shlo Yomar Adam. So people shouldn't say in the future, Ploni ki Moshe v'Aaron, Ploni ki Nodav v'Aviyu, Ploni ki Eldad u'Medad. Eldad u'Medad weren't mentioned in the Pesukim, but they were again mentioned in that general Parsha. So people would always complain and say, oh, our rabbis here, they're not Moshe and Aaron, they're not Nodav v'Aviyu, they're not Eldad u'Medad. So therefore, when we don't mention the Shivim Zakenim by name, so it's possible that people would be able to say that, maybe they're not Moshe and Aaron, but they could be like the other Shivim Zakenim, and therefore we have to listen to them and follow them, and we shouldn't say that they're not worthy to be our Zakenim. Then we quote a second pasuk. V'yomer, this is Shmuel HaNovi talking to Klai Yisrael. V'yomer Shmuel Alam, Shmuel tells the people, Hashem, Asher Osus, Moshe, the Es Aaron, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who made Moshe and Aaron, and the pasuk continues, and it says, Vasher Helo Es Avosechem Me Eretz Mitzrayim. He's the one that took us out of Mitzrayim. And furthermore, it says, "Va'omer va'yishlach Hashem es Yerubal V'yes Bidon, V'yes Yivtoch, V'yes Shmuel. In addition to Moshe and Aaron, he gave us the four Shoftim over here, which we'll see who they are in a moment. It says Yerubal. This is a reference to Gidon. He was Meriv with the Baal. He fought with the Baal. V'lomen Koshmo Yerubal, Shosem Meriva with the Baal. He had a fight with the Baal. In other words, he attacked the Baal and the worships of the Baal and was victorious. That was the great story of Gidon, who was one of the Shoftim. Bidon, who is that? That's a reference to Shimshon. It says Shimshon. V'lomen Koshmo Bidon, because the Osi Midon, because he came from Shevet Don, so that's why he was called Bidon. And finally, of course, Yiftach Kimashmo. Yiftach was his name. And again, to get to the point of the proof, Omer, another passage says, Moshe v'Aaron v'Chohanov u'Shmuel v'Korei Shmo. Moshe and Aaron were, of course, the great Kohanim of Klai Yisrael, the leaders of Klai Yisrael. U'Shmuel was amongst those who also called out HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name. So we compare over here all of these six Shoftim great leaders of Klai Yisrael, Moshe, Aaron, and Shmuel, and Gidon, Shimshon, and Yiftach. So we say, Shokalat Kosuv Shlosha Kali Olam, we compare the three Kali Olam. Now, it doesn't mean the three most light people of all time. It means three of the lighter great, 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 great Shoftim. Shlosha Chamuri Olam, like the three greatest people who lived, like Moshe, Aaron, and Shmuel. And therefore, teaching us, Lomaloch, Yerubal Bidoro, Kimoshe Bidoro, Bidon Bidoro, Kiar Bidoro, and Yiftach Bidoro, Kishmu Bidoro, that we compare these three great leaders of Klai Yisrael, Moshe, Aaron, and Shmuel, and we compare the three lesser leaders of Klai Yisrael, Gidon, Shimshon, and Yiftach, to each other. And we say that Yerubal, in his generation, was just like Moshe in his generation, and Shimshon, Bidon, in his generation, was just like Aaron in his generation, and Yiftach in his generation was just like Shmuel in his generation. And this teaches us, Lamedcha, Shafilu, Kal Shebekalim, even the lowest of the Shoftim, Minismana, Parnis Alatzibo, Hareyu Ka'abiru Shebabiru. If he's selected to be the leader of the community, he's selected to be the leader of Klai Yisrael, so then he's considered like the greatest of all time, like Moshe, Aaron, and Shmuel. And finally, we conclude, Va'omer, the Pasuk says, V'osel ha-Kohanim al-Bim v'al-Shofet ha-Sheyeh b'yomim ha-Heim, that a person has to go to be judged. He goes to the great leaders of his generation, al-Shofet ha-Sheyeh b'yomim ha-Heim. So, what do you mean, you go to the leaders in your generation? What, am I going to go to the Chasam Sofer today? Abishayla, I'm going to go ask the Vilna Magon? I'm going to go ask Rashi? Of course you go into the leaders that live in your time. How else could it possibly be? V'chisale al-Datko sh'odom ho'lech eitzal ha-Dayonim. Is it possible that a person would think that he would go to a Dayan that's not living in his time? Of course. So what is the Pasuk telling us? You're going to go to the Kohanim and Levim and Al-Shofet that live in your time. So Gemara says, to teach us this very important idea, Ha'ein l'cha leilech ella etzo shofet shibiyomov. Person only obviously can go to the judges in his day. And you can't say, our judges today, they're nobody. So compared to the previous generations, we're such an orphan generation. No, that's not the way to look at things. A person should say, I go to the leaders of my generation, and they're the Gedolei Hadar. Gedolei Hadar is dependent for each generation who the Gedolim are. So Ein l'cha leilech ella etzel shofet shibiyamav. You go to the generation that you live in. You don't go and judge the generation that you live in by the previous generations. And finally, the Omer, it says furthermore, Al tomar me'ayah shiyamim ha'rishonim ha'yotov me'ila. Don't say, they were so much better in earlier generations. Like today, people say, we don't have a Reb Moshe today. But in the days of Reb Moshe, they said, we don't have a Chasam Sofer. In the days of Chasam Sofer, they said, we don't have a Vilna Gaon. And therefore, Al tomar, do not say, me'ayah shiyamim ha'rishonim ha'yotov me'ila. Don't say that the previous generation was greater than us. So this is what Rabbi Dosim and Hurkin has told Rabbi Yeshua. Don't go question Rabbi Gamliel. You're going to say he's wrong. He's not as great as the generations before him. You go to the leader, the Nasi of your generation, and he paskins. And therefore, Rabbi Yeshua, don't be upset. So now we quote the conclusion of the Mishnah. And the Mishnah said that that's exactly what Rabbi Yeshua did. He listened to Rados and Hercules. He listened to the advice of Rabbi Akiva. And Nata Maklo or Ma'osa the other way. He took his stick and he took his money bag and he took it on the day that he said was Yud Tishrei, which was, according to Rabbi Gamliel, Yud Aleph Tishrei, and he went. So the Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan, Kivin Shiro, so as soon as Rabbi Gamliel saw him, as I pointed out before, the Mepharshim said, even before he saw him carrying his makel and his mos, as soon as he saw him, he knew, he came. So therefore, Kivin Shiro, so Omad Mikiso, Rabbi Gamliel stood up for him. Now, Gamliel's a Nasi, he doesn't have to stand up for anybody. Nevertheless, Omad Mikiso, he stood up, Umashakwa Rosh, he gave him a big kiss on his head. And he said to him, he said, Amalo, Shalom Alecha, Rabbi V'tamide. As we said in the Mishnah, the Brice expands on it a little bit. He said, Shalom Alechem, to you, you are both my Rabbi and my Talmud. You're my Rabbi, Shalom Atani, Torah Barabim. You have taught me Torah in public. In other words, you are a great Talmud Chacham, and I've learned much from you. And nevertheless, however, you were kind enough to come and act as my Talmud. The Talmidi, Shani Gozer Alecha, Gezeira, I was Gozer, you have to come, Vato, Mekaimo, Ketalmud, and you followed like a Talmud, listening to his Rebbe, even though you're smarter than me, and even though I may have been wrong, you followed me. And he said, praiseworthy is the generation, Ashri Ador, Shagadolim, Vishmoyim, Laktanim, that the great people, like you, listen to the smaller people, like me, Kavachomer, Ketanim, Lagdolim. How much more so will the Ketanim learn to listen to their Gedolim? Mor says, Kavachomer, this is a Kavachomer, Chiyuvo. What do you mean? A katan has to listen to the Gadol. You don't have a choice. You can't say, I won't follow what the Gadol says. So Mor says, no, what it means over here is Ella. Mitol Sha Gedolim, Nishmoy, Lektanim. For the fact that people will see that you, Rabbi Yeshua, listen to me, Rabbi Gamliel, you, the great Rabbi Yeshua, listen to me, a lesser authority, so they will learn a Kavachomer to themselves. Mitol Sha Gedolim, Nishmoy, Lektanim. Nosim Ketanim, Kavachomer, Biatzman. So the smaller people will say, listen, if Rabbi Yeshua can listen to Rabbi Gamliel, how much more so must we listen to Rabbi Gamliel? Now, just concluded one last thing. According to Rashash, he says that when he says Atomer Mehayasha Yomim Arishonim Yitov Meyela, so he says that this means don't even go to other people in your generation. You go to your local Rav, you go to your local Beis Din, and you don't start Beis Din shopping and looking all over for a person who will give you the answer that you want. Finally, one last thing. Rashi says that when we brought down the pasuk Atomer Mehayasha Yomim Arishonim Yitov Meyela, so Rashi quotes the end of that pasuk. He says Kilo Mechochma. That it's not because you're looking for a better Talmud Chacham that you should go to the people of your generation. No, the people of the previous generations were in fact greater. There is no doubt that the Vilna Gaon was greater than anybody living in our generation today. No matter who you're going to pick, there is no doubt that the Vilna Gaon was greater. And as great as the Vilna Gaon was, if you're in the generation of the Tanoim, there's no doubt that the Tanoim were greater than him. And if you're dealing with the generation of the Tanoim, there is no doubt that the Nevi'im were greater than them. So nevertheless, even though the people before you were greater, and there's no way that the Achronim could be like them, nevertheless, you go to the generation that you live in, to the leaders of that generation, and you follow their Pesach. Hadron Alecha Imeinu Makirin, Hadron Alecha Imeinu Makirin, Hadron Alecha Imeinu Makirin. This concludes the beautiful second parak, and now we start the Mishnah in the third parak. The Mishnah begins, the third parak begins. Ra'ahu Beis Din V'Chol Yisrael. If in fact the entire Beis Din, we had quoted this the other day, if the entire Beis Din and Klal Yisrael saw the new moon, so in this situation, one could have argued that maybe we don't need to say Makudish, that the Nasi doesn't have to call out Makudish. So the Chiddush of this Mishnah is no, even in that situation, the fact that everybody knows it doesn't make it yet Rosh Chodesh. The Beis Din has to go and declare it to be Rosh Chodesh. Now the next case is, or, as Gemara will explain, this is a new case, Nechkiru Ha'edim, or if in fact the witnesses came and they were investigated to see if they're telling the truth, if they're in fact good witnesses. But below is speak Olomar Makudish. In both of these situations, you didn't have a chance yet to declare it Makudish, Acha Chashecha, before it became the end of the day. So now it's already the next day, Hare Zem Uber. So then it's not a Chaser month, it's going to be a Mali month. Even though you technically had witnesses coming where everybody saw that the new moon had been seen on day number 30, so you should have said day number 30 is Rosh Chodesh. No, the fact that they didn't declare it Rosh Chodesh means that it's still day 30 of the previous month, and Rosh Chodesh will be the next day on day 31. Now, additional din. Ra'o Beis Din Bovad. If only the Beis Din saw the new moon. Nobody else saw it for whatever the reason. So what do they do? Yamdu Shnayim V'yo'idu Bifneim. So two of them go and separate themselves from the rest of the Beis Din, and they become the Edim to testify in front of the rest of the Beis Din. And then the Yomru Mekudosh Mekudosh. And then they can proclaim that today is Rosh Chodesh. Ra'o Shlosha. If there are only three people that saw the new moon, and they were the Beis Din, they based him. So what do you do in that situation? You have to appoint two other people to join the Beis Din, as two of the Beis Din will come and act as witnesses. So Yamdu Ashnayim, the two of the three original Beis Din should separate from the Beis Din and become witnesses. V'yoshivu mechavareim etzel ha'yochid. And then you appoint two new judges to go sit with the original judges left behind from the original three. So in this way, you now have a new Beis Din of three, and you have the two witnesses. They're originally part of the Beis Din, but now they're functioning not as Beis Din, but they're functioning as witnesses. They're separated from their friends. The Yoyid Bifneim, and now they're going to testify. The two original judges who are acting as witnesses are now going to go and testify in front of the new Beis Din. The Omyu, and then the Beis Din will say, Mekudosh, Mekudosh. Fine. Now, the reason you have to do this, the Mishnah tells us, is She'ena Yochid Nemon Ayide Atzvo, because no individual judge, they couldn't go and testify in front of their one remaining colleague and let him act as a mumcha. Well, that's allowed by Dine Mamonos, that technically a mumcha can be the judge. However, that din doesn't apply when you're declaring that the new moon should have occurred, that it's Rosh Chodesh. So there you need a Beis Din of three. Even if you have a mumcha, that's not enough. Gemara starts off and says, "Lama li lamisna ro based in v'chodesh ro." What was the chiddush over here? I already explained this, so it's not such a great question. But lama li lamisna ro based in v'chodesh ro. What's the chiddush over here telling us that everybody saw the new moon, and yet if it didn't get Makudish from the Basin and it turns to Chashecha, it's already nightfall, then that day is not Rosh Chodesh. So he says, no, it's Rich, you need it. Because so could I techaminech, I would have said on my own, I would have thought, oh well, since we Ra'u Basin Chodesh, since everybody saw the new moon, if fires some Allah, so it's well known that today is Rosh Chodesh, even though they didn't declare it to be Rosh Chodesh, and therefore the lo liabrua, and therefore don't make it into a Mali month, even though you didn't declare it Rosh Chodesh. Because everybody knew it was Rosh Chodesh, so it still should be Rosh Chodesh, even though they didn't declare it. So that's what you might have thought. Kamashullah, no, that's not the din. The din is, if they didn't say based and didn't declare it to be Rosh Chodesh, so then it's not Rosh Chodesh. Now the Gemara continues and says, V'kibon ditonolei ro based and chodesh ro. Since we have the first section of the Mishnah that says that everybody saw it all at once, the based and all the people, it was a beautiful moon, everybody saw it. So what's the second case? Now I already explained that this is the second case. So what's the purpose in saying Nech Kiru Ha'edim Lomeli? So assuming that this is the second case, it doesn't make any sense to say, and then they interrogated the witnesses. Everybody saw it. So the Gemara says, Nahochi Kamar, this is a separate case. Inami, you have to insert the words Inami over here. Or alternatively, in a case where it was Nech Kiru Ha'edim, you didn't have the base, then everybody see it. You just had two witnesses coming, and the witnesses came, and they were interrogated, and they passed muster, and they were in fact bound to be kosher witnesses, and their testimony was corroborated one to the other. So in that situation, even though they had given their testimony during the daytime, we'll always speak of Lomai Mekudesh. But Beis didn't have a chance to yet say Mekudesh Ad Shecha Shecha until it got dark. So they didn't declare it on that day. So the din is Harezim Uber. So this is the second part of the Mishnah. And the Chiddush is that even in this situation where they did the entire Drisha Chakira, that they proved that these were good, valid witnesses. So you might have thought that that's like the Haskalah's din, the Gemara is going to tell us. And therefore, it's considered as if it started during the day. And therefore, even if you finish it at night, it's still considered that they were Makadisha during the day. So Kamash Ulan, Harezim Uber, no, that doesn't work. It is not yet considered that they were Makadish to Chodesh, and therefore the next day will be Rosh Chodesh and not this day. Shemur says, Makiban the Tona Ad Chashecha Harezim Ubar, Lami Lamisda Chakir Sedim Klal. So the Gemara still asked, since you're telling me that they didn't go and paskin that it was Rosh Chodesh until it was nightfall, and therefore it's a Mali month and not a Chasim month, so then why did you have to say anything at all? Lami Lamisnai Lamisnaye Chakir Sedim Klal. What was the whole purpose of giving us this second case? If the first case isn't good, so then the second case is also certainly not going to be good. Shemur says, no, it's true. Because I might have thought, so could I do Chaminoch to have a Chakiras Edim Kitzchilas Din. That's what I just said a moment ago. You might have thought that since they did the Chakir on the Edim, that's like they started the Psak Din. And if you start the Psak Din, you're allowed to finish it at night. Or Makudish Makudish Ki Gemar Din. And then only when Basin says Makudish Makudish, that's like the Gemar Din. And therefore, I might have said, the Lekadche Balaila, you should be allowed to go to Makadish it at night because Midi Dahadi Adin in Mamanos. It should be exactly like Dine Mamanos, which if you stop during the daytime, you're allowed to conclude it at night. As we learned in the Mishnah, it's not in the Mishnah in Sanhedrin, it tells us, Beferish, Dine Mamanos done by Yom, but going Balaila. That if you start Dine Mamanos during the day, then you're allowed to finish it at night. By Dine Nefashos, you're not allowed to finish it at night. We want you to sleep on it and not rush through the din. But by Dine Mamanos, Donim by Yom, you're allowed to go and judge it during the daytime, the Gorim of Laila, you can finish it off at night. So I would have said two over here, Hochanami. And the same thing should apply by Kiddush HaKodesh. Since they started doing the Chakira of the Edom during the daytime, they should be allowed to be Mekachim by Laila to finish off the Tzak Din. Oh, so the Kiddush over here is, Kamash Ulan, that that's not correct. Mor says, maybe it is correct. Why don't we say that this is correct? It sounds like it's actually a very reasonable thing to say. So Mor says, no, we have a Pasuk that says otherwise. Omar Kra, the Pasuk tells us, this has to be a chok and a mishpat. A must have a chok, bigmar din. When is it called a chok that this is now established as Rosh Chodesh? That is bigmar din, only at the conclusion of the din. The kokori le'rach non a mishpat, and it says that ki chok li'shol hu mishpat, it has to be chok and mishpat, so therefore kokori le'rach non a mishpat, it tells us ma mishpat bayom, av hocha nami bayom. Just like mishpat has to be during the daytime, so too, this Sak Din has to be during the daytime. That's why this idea of comparing to Din Mamas isn't in fact correct. Where it continues to quote the Mishnah, Ro Beis Din, if the Beis Din itself saw it, Tosu says we're dealing over here with a Beis Din of 23, so only those 23 saw it, so then Yamdu Shnayim, two of the men of the Sanhedrin, go and testify as Edim, and the rest of them will serve as the Beis Din. So where it says, why is that necessary? Lote Shmiel, G'dol Maria, why don't we just say that, in fact, But the Beis Din itself saw the whole thing. Why can't the Chav Gimel paskin over here, the Shiloh, without having to have testimony? As Rashi points out, you don't really need testimony. It doesn't say anywhere in the Pasuk that you require Eidos. In Rashi Dibra Maskel Bamai, he says, Togabi Eidos Echodesh, Lokasid Eidos, Elokizeh, Re'eh Bekadesh. So the Beis Din, the Sanhedrin, saw the move. So why should they have to separate two of them out and have them serve as testimony, have them serve as witnesses? It should be satisfactory to just have the whole Beis Din paskin. We saw it and we know it. We have absolute yidea. Why not? So Amar Zera tells us, Kigon Shiro Balaila. The Sanhedrin Agodol was watching this at nighttime. They were all convened together at nighttime. They see the new moon and they can't paskin it now. And as Rashi points out, the next day they're going to paskin it. You can't paskin it then on their knowledge. You love Shmi unless they actually hear testimony when they're sitting as a Beis Din. The fact that they all know something, that doesn't allow them to go and paskin the din and say, declare that it is Rosh Chodesh. So therefore, since they only convene together at night when they saw the new moon, they can't function as a Beis Din. Then the next morning, they have to take two of them out and function as witnesses and testify in front of the rest of the Sanhedrin that they have a Beis Din. Then we quote the Mishnah, Rahu Shlosha Vein Beis Din. If you see three people and they're functioning as a Beis Din, so it's only those three people. So here in this situation, Yamdu Shnayim, you have to take out two people from the three and have them serve as witnesses. Yoshivu Mechavareim Itzal Yochid. And you add two people in addition next to the one remaining judge. So now you have a Beis Din again, and they can actually testify in front of this new Beis Din, and Yamdu Shnayim, Yoshivu Mechavareim Itzal Yochid, and testify. Amai, why do you have to go through this whole process? Hochanami. Let the three of them function as a Beis Din and let them go and paskin the din. Why do they have to take two out as witnesses and then add two to be judges? Let them all just function as a Beis Din. So Gemara says, are you going to tell me the same teretz we gave a moment ago? So then, why would you need the second case here? It's exactly the same case as the first case where we said that Sanhedrin Agadol had seen the whole thing. So what does it make, a Sanhedrin Agadol or it's a Beis Din of three? It would be the exact same din if you're telling me that at night they can't judge. So Gemara says, no. You need this case, Ro Shlosha Vein Beis Din, Seifo Itzrichla. You need this. Why? That this is to teach us what I mentioned before, that a single mumcha cannot function in regards to Din of Kiddush HaChodesh. You can't have one great person. Even Moshe Rabbeinu, as we'll see, couldn't function alone as a Beis Din to go and be paskening that is Rosh Chodesh. And that's why when you take away these two people, so they're functioning as the witnesses, so you can't have them testify just in front of one other person and let him act as the Beis Din. Because I might have said the Soka Daita Chamino, Choel. Now, the Gersa that we have is a Tanan, but it's really a Brisa. The Tanya should be Dine Momnos Bishlosha. We learned that monetary judgments are normally judged by a Beis Din of three. However, if one of them was such an expert in Hilchos Dine Momnos that he could actually function by himself, albeit the Gemara also tells us that a Beis Din like that, of two people, for example, is a Beis Din of Chutzav. So certainly one shouldn't judge by himself. Nevertheless, technically, if he's a Mumchel or Rabbin, if he's a recognized expert, and everybody agrees to him judging alone, so he could judge alone. Don Afilu B'Yochid, technically he could judge alone. So you might have thought the same thing should apply over here. This is Moshe Rabbeinu. He certainly is as knowledgeable as anybody about Kiddush HaChodesh. So I might have said, Hochanami, Nikache B'Yechidi, that if you have one really well-recognized authority to be the Talmud Chacham and go and paskin this Kiddush HaChodesh, Kamash Malon, so the Kiddushes know that we don't allow that. And that's why you need three, and that's why you have to take two of the three from the Beis Din and set them aside as witnesses, and the next morning you add two witnesses to the original member of the Beis Din that was there, now you have a new Beis Din of three, and that's how you do the testimony. Moshe says, but maybe it actually was right. Why don't we compare it? Like we said before, why don't we compare it to Dine Mamonos? Beim HaChanami. So Moshe says, Ein Lecha Mumcha L'Rabim B'Yisrael Yosef Moshe Rabbeinu. No. Even Moshe Rabbeinu wouldn't function like that. Now, maybe he would. So Moshe says, no. The Kamal HaKosh Baruch Hu Adik Aaron Badach. That even Moshe Rabbeinu needed to have Aaron there. As the Pasuk says, Dursiv Ayom HaShem Moshe V'El Aaron. Eretz Yisrael Le'mora. HaKosh Zelochem Rosh Chodoshim. So therefore, even Moshe and Aaron, they needed to be together. Even Moshe, as great as he was, couldn't function alone. He needed to have a Beis Din, so he needed to be with Aaron. Finally, Moshe says, "Lememra de'ed nasadayin." You clearly see from this discussion that we had that originally they were dayanim, they were part of the Beis Din, and they could subsequently function as a witness. Is that correct? Lema Masnisan, let us say our Mishnah is the local Rabbi Kiva. Doesn't seem to be in accord with the opinion of Rabbi Kiva. What did Rabbi Kiva say? The Tanya. Rabbi Kiva said in the Braisa, Sanhedrin Shero Echot Shaharek is an Epesh. If the entire Sanhedrin saw somebody go and kill somebody, Rahman al-Tzlan, return to Chav Vav Amar Aleph, So the opinion of Tanakam, which we'll see is Rabbi Tarfon, he says, Miktsos and Nasu Edim, Miktsos and Nasu Dayanim. No problem. Let some of this Sanhedrin that saw him kill, let them go and testify in front of the rest of the Sanhedrin, and the rest of the Sanhedrin will be judges. Now, you'll obviously have to add two people because you clearly need 23 to judge capital cases, and if you're taking two of them out, you only have 21 left in the Sanhedrin, so you'll add two people to the Sanhedrin. Now, the two original judges of the Sanhedrin will go function as witnesses, and you'll have reconstituted the Sanhedrin with 23 by adding two additional Talmidei Chachamim. So now you have a Sanhedrin of 23, you can judge capital cases, and you go and testify with the two original judges. So what do you see over here? Clearly, Divrei Rabbi Tarfon, that the Dayanim can become witnesses. But Rabbi Kiva disagrees. Rabbi Kiva Omer, no, Kula Nasin Edim, Vein Ed Nasin Dayan. All of them witnessed it. And therefore, since they all witnessed it already, so it's impossible for them to then no longer be judges and now to serve as witnesses. So you can function as both, Rabbi Kiva says. So our Mishnah also seems to say that you could function as both, the original Dayanim, and now they become Edim to testify about Kiddush HaChodesh. And Rabbi Kiva seems to say that that's not allowed. So let us say our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Akiva. Shmuel says, no, afilu tem Rabbi Akiva. We can even say that our Mishnah does go like Rabbi Akiva. Why is that? Because ad kan lo kama Rabbi Akiva hasam ela bedinei nefashos. Because in the case of Sanhedrin, we're dealing with the capital crime. They saw the person commit the murder. So we have a commandment that says, Yerachmon omar v'shavtu eida v'itzilu eida. Again, that's not the whole pasuk. The whole pasuk is v'shavtu eida ben amako v'gol adam al mishpatu eila. And then it says, next pasuk, v'itzilu eida. That's the word seach v'agol adam. So therefore, there is a commandment on the Sanhedrin that we never want a Sanhedrin to go and be a killing Sanhedrin. We want them to try as hard as possible to go and free the person. And in this situation where they witnessed the actual murder, v'kivan d'chazyu, since they actually saw him commit the murder, it's going to be impossible for them to find the tziluah, to figure out a way that this person didn't commit the crime, because they saw it with their own eyes. So that's why, in the case of Sanhedrin, Rabbi Kiva says that a dying can't become an aid. Avalocha, in regards to the Riyah of the moon, I feel that Rabbi Kiva loved it. There's no tziluah aid in regards to the moon. And therefore, there's no reason why an aid can't have previously been the dying. By Dinei Nefashos, we're right. Person who saw something can't be the dying, because there's no way he'll be able to ever get that out of his mind, and he won't do Bitzilu Eida. But by Kiddush HaChodesh, there is no such requirement, and therefore, Afilu Rabbi Kiva Mode, we could say that the author of a Mishnah even goes in accord with Rabbi Kiva. It doesn't have to be Rabbi Tarfon. With this, we conclude today's share.